Willow had felt when he had closed himself off from her. She tromped behind him.
How much farther?
We're here.
Austin pointed at the small brook he'd wanted to show her, along with the remnants of a fort he and his brothers had built when they were kids. He was surprised any part of it remained.
Here's where I came to hide when Dad was drinking.
Even though he was much too late, if he was going to open up, now was the time. Would she want to hear it? By the look in her eyes, as she took in the crumbling fort, he was making the right decision. He wished he hadn't waited so long. Willow reached out and touched the rudimentary structure.
I'm sorry, your life was so awful you felt you had to hide, but I'm glad you had a place to go.
Leaning against a tree, he felt the bark pressed into his back. He focused on that pain instead of the prick at his heart.
Before the fire, she left our father.
Wait, are you saying your mother left you behind with him? A deep sadness interlaced her understanding tone.
That could undo him.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She couldn't take us with her. She couldn't afford three boys on her own. So she left us.
It felt good to open up, to let himself be vulnerable, to be seen and heard.
Willow drew near. Mosquitoes, the only thing he hated about these woods, buzzed around them, apparently only slightly deterred by the insect repellent they'd put on.
I lost my parents in a car accident, but it has to hurt even more to know that your mother chose to leave you.
He was harder on her. She thought we could take it. And we did. We made it through with only a few scars.
The emotional scars took the longest to heal. She came back to try again, and the fire took her.
He expected to see pity, but instead tenderness shone in Willow's eyes.
Austin wanted to pull her close. He wanted to do so much more with her, but he shouldn't. He needed to protect himself. He didn't want to get hurt again, nor did he want to hurt her. Emotionally, he was damaged goods. Opening up and being vulnerable to her might not have been such a good idea after all.
What are you thinking?
She asked. Could he be that completely honest with anyone? His heart beat erratically at the thought of actually telling her.
I wish I could erase my past and knock down the walls that I built. I wish that you and I could start over.
Oh, man.
He'd said that out loud. His pulse pinging around inside, he held his breath. Longing poured from her eyes. Longing mixed with indecision, he knew exactly how she felt. He was feeling the same. He thought he'd gotten over her, grown past his feelings for her, but he'd lied to himself. He leaned in, brushing the top of her head with his thumb and down her soft cheek to move her hair behind her ear. She inched her face up ever so slightly, and that was all the invitation he needed. He cupped her cheeks. All conscious thought left his mind. Eyes closed. His lips touched hers. Soft. Supple. Needy. He drew in her essence, all that was Willow, a reminder of all he'd lost, all he could have had with her, his mind emptied of even his loss as he savored beautiful Willow, pulling her into his arms and deepening the kiss,
Tonight, he'd opened up his heart until she'd touched it. And now the world quaked beneath him. He had never kissed her like this. It thrilled him. It terrified him. A low growl rumbled, morphing into a high-pitched, piercing shriek. Willow startled and stepped away, but he caught her before she stumbled. She pressed into him as though afraid. What is that? Austin held her nice and tight.
An elk.
The sound of a bull elk bugle. A what? It sounded like a ring wraith from Lord of the Rings. He chuckled. The elk bugled again, the sound bringing back memories. Willow appeared riveted as they listened. When it ended, she stepped from his arms looking dazed. Was that from the elk or the kiss? She put distance between them. Should he apologize? His throat thickened. The walls were quickly going up around his heart, a defense mechanism he knew. Should he even be considering a relationship with her again? He wanted to ask her, but maybe now wasn't the time. He feared what she might say. Willow had always been the open one, wanting to talk it out. And now, here she stood, holding it all in. That bewildered him. He never knew confusion could be so painful. She touched the structure that had barely remained over the years. You said you'd come here to hide?
Yeah.
I keep thinking about what Heath said. What if he's right? What if Charlie doesn't want to be found? What about her rights? If given a choice, would she want to know about her birth mother? What kind of torture would that bring to someone if they'd grown up believing their parents were their real parents? In searching for the truth about ancestry, there have been plenty of times we've come across discrepancies about relationships. It's never pretty. In fact, we learned my grandfather on my father's side fathered a child outside his marriage. So Dad had a half-brother. He and Mom were on their way to find him when they died in the car accident. He wanted to reach for her again, comfort her.
Did he know they were coming?
No. That was a tough decision. But they thought it was best to approach him in person, or at least to try.
So he still doesn't know?
No, and I have to wonder what good it would do for him to find out now. What difference can it make, except when a medical history might play into it? So maybe my uncle doesn't want to be found either. How can we know, Austin? She looked up into his eyes. How can we know if we're doing the right thing?
A crime was committed. We were hired by the victim's mother, herself a victim, to resolve a cold case. Still, I understand what you're asking. It's a hard question.
And if we keep going, we could get her killed.
Or you, Willow.
There had already been attempts on her life. JT had been murdered to stop the search. He thought about Michael Croft, whom he'd failed to save. Of course, the man hadn't wanted his services. Two women's lives were in danger now, and he wasn't sure how to keep either of them safe. Then, there was his monumental failure at the FBI. He'd made a tough call, and a life had been lost. He could still remember the crushing wails. The sound had reverberated through his being. A shudder coursed over him. I guess we should pray about it and trust that God will lead us down the right path,
she said. Her faith was obviously stronger than his. In the meantime, he'd talk to Heath and find out what had disturbed him. Suspicion coiled around Austin's gut. Heath was hiding something. That seemed to be the family curse. Chapter 39. Friday, 7:07 p.m., Bridger Teton National Forest. Darkness descended on the house. Charlie hadn't wanted to use her flashlight, but she had no choice. She flicked it on and continued searching through the roll-top desk. She might not get an opportunity to come back, not with Clyde searching the house, too. She assumed that was why he'd returned here. He could have found what he needed and destroyed it by now. Had he already searched through the desk? Why had she been such a coward? She should have come back sooner. As it was, she'd forgotten the key to the house, but it was easy enough to get in through the unlocked window. Think, Charlie, think. Where would Mama have put her bank statements if they weren't in the desk? Mama had told Charlie she had a trust fund from which she received monthly payments. Although Mama's will hadn't said anything about her trust fund or named Charlie as the beneficiary, the lawyer didn't know anything either. Until Mama's death, Charlie had never considered it strange her mother would be the beneficiary of a trust fund. Until now, she had never even cared. Charlie had gained access to Mama's bank account and downloaded the statements from the last couple of years. Nothing unusual there. No money coming from said trust fund even before the date Mama claimed payments to her had stopped. She'd been livid. And that was about 2 months before she was murdered. Charlie wanted to know where the cash had come from. The father her mother never told her about? Some other family member? And why had it stopped? What did Clyde have to do with it? That her mother's murder had to do with money was a reasonable assumption. Dusk looming outside, she shut the desk. She still had to ride Amber back. Mac would probably be wondering where she'd gone and would send out a search party of one if he noticed she hadn't returned with the horse and he couldn't get a hold of her. She pulled out the two-way radio. Mac, you there? She waited. Nothing. She sent him a text. If she caught a signal at some point, the text should go through. Cell signals were spotty in the region, if she could get one at all, but that's why they used the radio. She had a sat or satellite phone back at the cabin for emergencies only. She wasn't bleeding, so it wasn't an emergency. The phone was expensive and not much better than a cell phone anyway. She shined the flashlight around the house as she crept to Mama's room. She was alone here, and it felt strange to be sleuthing in her own home. Mama's bedroom. The peaceful lavender comforter remained just as it had been when Charlie left, and belied the violence that had occurred in this house. How much, or how little, had the authorities done to find her killer? Especially given the sheriff's relationship to Clyde? Not nearly enough. The closet door hung open. Charlie shined the light on Mama's shoes at the bottom. Mama loved the kind of shoes that she couldn't wear at her job as a nurse, while Charlie loved boots. Shoes. She dropped to her knees and pulled out the shoe boxes, dumping the pretty sandals and stilettos. No wonder Mama wanted to travel. Get out of town. She wanted to dress up but had no place to go. Charlie had been the reason she'd stayed. In the back corner, She found the box that had contained her own favorite boots. Opening the box, she hit pay dirt. Stacks of bank statements. Charlie hadn't known about this account. There were other boxes. Why hadn't the sheriff's department done more in their investigation? Why hadn't someone already discovered this? Unfortunately, Charlie knew exactly why. They didn't want to find it. Nausea rolled like waves in her gut. If she had brought Bronk, she could take all the boxes back with her. Light flashed across the wall from one side of the bedroom to the other. Someone was coming. Heart pounding, Charlie grabbed a handful of the statements, then moved the boxes back into the corner, stacked more shoes and boxes on top. For a moment, she thought about making a stand. This was her house after all. But someone had walked into the house and shot Mama. Staying hidden and doing her own investigation was the only way open to her. She peeked between the mini blinds. Sheriff Everett? He trudged toward the house, his chin lifted from left to right as he searched the area. The only reason for him to be at the house was to investigate her mother's murder, or to make sure any evidence that had been left behind was destroyed. Some would say Charlie should work with him, but how could she trust him? He would side with Clyde like he'd already done. Could even be involved. She didn't want Clyde or anyone to know she had stayed in the area. She feared her ragged breaths would give her away as she slipped out the back window. Only trouble was, she couldn't get the window closed. It had jammed. If he looked through the house in the dark, he'd see that someone had been inside.
Please help me, God.
She ran through the dark and across the meadow, just like she had done that night 2 months ago.
I'm going to kill you too.
The gruff, unnatural voice resounded in her head as if she had just heard it. She stumbled but found her footing. Focus. She had to make it all the way across the field before the sheriff discovered someone had been in the house. Breathing hard, she found the spot where she'd tied Amber to a tree. But Amber was gone. Had she, in her rush, failed to tie a decent knot? A beam of light flashed across the meadow. The sheriff. How far would he search? Charlie had to find that horse. She looked behind her and spotted Amber through the trees. In the meadow! Not 25 yards from the sheriff. He would see her. To make matters worse, Amber trotted in Charlie's direction. The horse knew Charlie was in the woods. She'd simply wandered off to graze. The sheriff's light found the horse. Charlie couldn't wait for Amber.
Sorry, Mac.
Chapter 40. Friday, 8:32 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Too much was happening too fast. Her head would spin right off if she wasn't deliberate about holding herself together. With her left hand, she fingered the charm on the necklace Austin had given her. In the other hand, she gripped the mug of hot chocolate Heath had offered. He and Austin talked with Evelyn in the kitchen, fussing over the special dessert Evelyn had made.
Cheesecake, Willow's favorite.
Austin had obviously told her. Evelyn wouldn't let them eat the cheesecake until it had properly chilled, which meant they'd have to wait until tomorrow. To Willow's way of thinking. Willow should have been in there with them, talking and laughing, but she'd excused herself to sit on the sofa and watch the sunset,
pink and orange clouds bursting around the silhouette of mountains. She drew a measure of peace from the scenery. Austin's father must have been the worst sort of man. Why else would Austin ever leave such a beautiful place? Now that she was alone for a few moments, she allowed herself to think about his kiss. But she wouldn't think about it too long. Closing her eyes, she rested her head against the sofa and relived the moment he'd drawn near, touched her face. Tingles had crawled over her. She knew she shouldn't have led him on, but her heart had utterly disagreed with her mind and took charge, inviting his kiss. Willow could hardly believe he'd taken her up on it. Or had he been the one who'd sent the invitation and she'd given her permission? That part was a blur. Regardless, what was she supposed to do now? It had been hard enough working with the guy without thinking about everything she might have had with him if she hadn't needed to know all his secrets. And that was just it. Austin had opened up and shared with her. Why now? Why not back then? And what was she supposed to do? Thoughts of him filled her mind and senses. She couldn't afford to get distracted. But later, maybe later, after they found Charlie, she and Austin could explore a relationship. The kiss. Had his intention been to let her know he wanted to try again? Willow needed to think about that long and hard, but with her romantic compass spinning, she wasn't sure which path to take. Her phone buzzed in her pocket. Dana.
Hey, thanks for calling back.
Phone to her ear. She perused the living room and listened to Dana.
Still looking for a Wyoming connection to Caitlin and Marilee Clemens. Oh, and I know you didn't ask, but I searched records for Henry Haas to see if he did in fact have two sons like he said. After searching online resources and still getting nowhere, I decided to go ahead and create the Haas family tree myself to generate some applicable record hits. Turns out, he only has one son, at least as far as I can confirm, so the nurse was right about the dementia. Or I could keep looking.
Willow held back her frustration. Dana likely needed the diversion, and she had only meant to help the poor old man.
We should really focus on finding out why Marilee took Charlie. If there's a link between her and Texas, no rabbit trails, okay?
You're right. Maybe the next time you see him, if you do, he'll claim he only had one son.
But I'll tell you, the interesting part about my search, the son I found isn't a Haas at all. A different name is listed for his father on the birth certificate. But in building the tree, I discovered Henry Haas is named as the great-grandfather of two children through this son who doesn't share his name. So, I'm glad I built that family tree myself. Could be the son was adopted by a stepfather.
Or Mr. Haas had an affair that produced a child, like Willow's grandfather on her dad's side had done. Maybe that was the secret Marilee had kept for Mr. Haas, but Willow directed the conversation back. I think we're getting closer to solving Caitlin Mason's mystery. We have to be.
What am I missing? What more have you learned?
Willow lowered her voice. Someone left a note. Someone doesn't want us to find her. He threatened to kill her.
What are you going to do? Please tell me you've gone to the authorities.
Not yet. We're going to, but
We have to figure out how to do that without the person behind this knowing, and he's watching. He knew I was at the cabin here at this guest ranch. He knew we were at the nursing home. This is making me sick. Caitlin's daughter's life is now in danger because we're searching.
Don't forget about your life, Willow. Maybe I should talk to Austin and remind him to protect you. Sounds like you're still in danger even though you're in Wyoming instead of Washington.
For sure, her heart was in danger.
No, please, you don't need to remind him. I know you're doing all you can from there, but please stay safe, Dana. If you're willing to keep working with me through this, that is.
Of course. I want to get to the bottom of JT's death. We can't let someone get away with what they've done.
What would you like me to do?
Just keep searching for Wyoming connections to Caitlin, or any other connections you think of. Follow every lead. Listen to every hunch. As for me, I want to find her and warn her, but I'm afraid to take even one step in that direction.
Headlights flashed up the long drive and bounced. Looks like someone's coming. I need to go.
Me too, Dana said. I have the grandkids tonight. I'm making popcorn and we're going to watch a movie.
Willow?
Yes?
Be careful.
I'd much prefer it if you'd turn this over to the police or if the FBI would just open it back up. I want you to be safe.
I know.
Willow ended the call and stuck her phone in her pocket. Heath and Austin headed out the front door. Through the window, she watched them wait for the approaching vehicle. She took in this lovely home, the house Austin had grown up in, though it had been through a fire at some point years ago, and more recently a renovation. This was his past, his history, the part that had been missing in their relationship before. She wasn't sure why it was so important to her, but she couldn't have imagined this day would come. Thick photo albums rested on a shelf. Her heart jumped. Maybe she could get a better look into his family, his childhood. It surprised her that the albums had survived a fire and would be kept at all. Austin had a major aversion to remembering his past and childhood. Maybe things had been loving at first, but then everything changed. Willow wanted to know more. The albums could hold precious pictures of them with their mother, a happy family. She snatched one from the shelf and flipped through the photographs, wishing she had hours to look through all of them. She wasn't completely certain Austin would want her digging this deep into his life, even though he had opened up to her tonight, throwing her equilibrium completely off balance. A photograph, something more recent, was jammed in the back of the album. Austin wasn't in the picture. Heath stood next to a horse along with a young girl, an older teenager. Willow removed the photograph and held it near the lamp emitting soft yellow light.
Oh, my.
Apparently, Austin wasn't the only McCade brother who kept secrets.
Chapter 41. Friday, 8:47 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. A Hoback County Sheriff's Department SUV, towing a short horse trailer, crunched along the gravel. Apprehension stirred in Heath's gut. His property was in Bridger County, but bordered Hoback. Sheriff Everett stepped out of his vehicle. Heath had never liked the guy before, but he especially didn't now that he knew Charlie's reservations about him. He had a bad feeling about this.
Sheriff, What can I do for you?
You can take your horse off my hands.
Come again?
I don't like bringing the trailer up here. Takes too long.
Everett walked around to the horse trailer. Heath and Austin followed the sheriff and watched him open the trailer. Heath instantly recognized Charlie's favorite horse. He schooled his features, allowing his surprise to show but not his utter panic. Charlie had taken the horse out earlier in the day for a long ride. Heath had tried to call her on her cell when she didn't answer the radio. While Austin was taking that walk with Willow, Heath had wanted to talk to Charlie about why they were here. He hadn't panicked then, because in these mountains, cell service wasn't always a guarantee, but the lack of radio response worried him. Heath took the reins and ran his hand down Amber's neck, walking her the rest of the way down the ramp.
Are all your clients accounted for?
As far as I know, but I definitely need to check on that.
You could start with who was riding this horse. I found the mare grazing over on the Clemens property in the back. That's 15 miles from here, depending on which route you take. Maybe the trails are faster.
Heath didn't want to lie to the law, but he had too many suspicions about Silas Everett and wouldn't jeopardize Charlie's secret or her life. Everett wasn't in his own county anyway. He only brought the horse back to give him an excuse to ask questions.
I'm not a horseman, but I think it's highly unlikely the horse would have wandered off on her own to that property.
You never know, Heath said.
For the life of him, he didn't know what more to say.
Try the truth, Heath.
Except Charlie had trusted him when she couldn't trust the sheriff. If Heath couldn't find her, then he would give the Bridger County Sheriff a call. Sheriff Haynes. A search and rescue team would be sent out. Charlie would be exposed then. Another thought accosted him. What if the man who wanted to kill her had found her?
Please, no.
He wouldn't let his mind even consider that possibility. Still, it gave rise to the question, was he doing the wrong thing by hiding Charlie? What if she was out there somewhere hurt or murdered? He needed to find her, but he didn't need Everett's help. Best get this sheriff on his way.
Is there something you want to tell me, McCade?
Heath shook his head. Charlie didn't want anyone to know she was still in the area. Didn't want her would-be killer to know. But he'd obviously hired professionals to find her. Austin and Willow. They claimed her mother had hired them to find her. Well, her mother was dead. Who else had hired them except the person who wanted to find and kill her? Heath had always considered himself a decisive man and had never been cornered like this. No matter which way he turned, he could see no clear path. I have something to tell you. Willow appeared out of nowhere. Heath hadn't noticed her approach. She stepped up and introduced herself. She shared the story of the missing girl with the sheriff.
Oh, I really wish you hadn't done that.
You told Sheriff Haynes we were barking up the wrong tree, but this note says otherwise. Willow held up a bagged slip of paper.
Willow, what are you doing?
Austin asked, his brow furrowed. I'm sorry, Austin. I don't think we can wait any longer, she said, and directed her next words to the sheriff. Someone left it on our Jeep today outside of a nursing home. Proof enough that she's alive and well,
and someone doesn't want us to find her. I'm giving you the note so you can investigate. Sheriff Haynes has the other note. We'll turn over all we know and all we've found so far. But you likely know this girl, since her mother was murdered in your county not 2 months ago. She is in danger. I might be endangering her by telling you now.
Have you found who murdered Marilee Clemens? Austin asked.
Sheriff Everett stared at the bag she held and shook his head.
You think her murderer is connected to this person leaving you notes to stop looking for Charlie?
Yes, Austin said. The sheriff's features shifted, as though he couldn't decide how to react to the news. Finally, he forced a controlled expression and took the note from her.
Appreciate you letting me know. Are you going to stick around in case I have questions after I look into this?
I'm not sure how long we're staying, Willow said. But since we were hired by her birth mother to find her, that isn't going to stop despite the notes.
Even with the threat to her life?
The sheriff asked. Willow's eyes flicked to Heath, a feral glint in them. What was that about? No disrespect to you, but Mrs. Mason hired us because law enforcement let her down. I have to see this through. Sheriff Everett grimaced but said nothing more. Got in his truck and slowly headed down the driveway. Willow stomped away. Austin stared after her, his face contorted. Heath didn't have time to think about the growing tension. I have to find Charlie.
Chapter 42. Friday, 9:16 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Austin found Willow in her room. She'd stomped off when the sheriff left. Heath had done the same as he led the horse away to the barn. Nobody had eaten the cheesecake, which was probably just as well. Evelyn insisted it wasn't ready. Regardless, he carried a slice up to Willow, now that it had had more time to cool. Poor Evelyn had gone to all that work because Austin had given her the special request. He had no idea why Willow had gone ahead and told the sheriff about their case, when Austin had asked her for time to carefully consider their next step. He peered through the half-open door. Willow's duffel bag lay open on the bed. His heart dropped. He nudged the door all the way open. What are you doing? She peeked around him down the hallway, then drew him inside her room covertly, like an informant. What's going on? He set the ignored cheesecake on the desk.
Shh, keep your voice down.
She paced the small room. I'm packing. I'm leaving. A chill crept up his spine.
What's happened?
Unshed tears glistened in her eyes. Austin wanted to reach for her and tell her it was going to be okay. He mentally chained his arms to his sides.
I don't know how to tell you this.
She turned her back to him and walked to the window to peek out. Then she shut the mini blinds. Confusion rolled through him, trying his patience.
How about you tell me, Willow, before you drive me crazy?
She slowly turned to face him, but kept near the window. Heath has been lying to us.
Dread soured in his gut. What are you talking about?
Please, tell me you didn't know.
He fisted his hands. Okay. Now he had to hold in his frustration. What are you talking about?
Heath knows Charlie.
Austin couldn't have heard her right.
He stood there a moment, letting her words soak in. The walls of the room pushed out, then closed in.
I don't understand. What do you mean? She took a step closer, her expression like a mother coddling a child. I found a picture of Heath standing next to Charlie, and that very same horse the sheriff brought back tonight. The tears spilled over this time.
I don't believe you.
Please, tell me you didn't know. You're always hiding stuff. Nothing's changed. I thought we...
Austin pressed a hand against the wall to hold it up before it came crashing down on him. She was actually accusing him of hiding things again? No. He couldn't think about her accusing him. He had to focus on her accusations regarding Heath.
I need to see the picture. Where is it?
What? You don't believe me?
It has to be a mistake.
She moved the duffel and took out the picture.
Here, since you think I'm lying.
I didn't say you're lying.
He yanked the photograph away and stared at it. Sure enough, Heath stood next to a girl who he would recognize without the age progression photos. She looked so much like her mother.
I don't know what to say.
Or think.
Austin,
she whispered. The hurt in her voice said volumes. He risked a glance at her, angry with himself. Hadn't he warned himself to keep his distance from her when it came to his heart? But she'd wounded him.
How could you even entertain the idea that I knew about this?
She sucked in a breath and seemed to shake off her own pain. Her sorrowful eyes pleaded with him.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to think. What if it's him? What if he only wanted to keep us close so he could keep tabs on us? What if he's leaving the notes?
You don't believe that.
I don't want to believe it, but it kind of makes sense.
No, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Austin thought back to the moment they had received the picture of Charlie and Heath had seen it. He definitely reacted. Austin should have caught it then. His training should have told him Heath knew something. Austin thought Heath might have been hiding something. But this hadn't entered his mind.
No.
Now he was lying to himself. That wasn't it at all. Austin had refused to believe Heath's reaction was related to the girl. He had denied the truth because he wanted the reconciliation he was working through with Heath to succeed. He handed back the photograph.
I'm going to talk to Heath. Austin opened the door. With a glance over his shoulder, he spotted the duffel bag again. He thought better of just walking out, and instead closed the door. One, then two steps, and he was close to Willow. He thought back to the moment he'd kissed her. That had been the biggest mistake in his recent history. He could never get over the past because he kept making new mistakes. Still, he wanted to mend the hole in the earth between them that had formed because of Heath's lie.
Please, please wait for me here.
I'm going to talk to Heath. This could all be a misunderstanding. If he knows her, then we could find her tonight before her life is threatened.
Austin searched her eyes, her demeanor, hoping to see agreement.
She was marble. Look, you don't know my brother like I do. Heath has always been about honor. He always does the right thing. That's why he's been able to build this reputable guest ranch despite our father's reputation in the area.
Her doubt created a painful knot inside his gut. Anger twisted it tighter. Still, he needed her to believe him. She was upset,
She couldn't have really meant what she said. He desperately wanted his words to her to be true. But even if they were true, Heath had lied to them both. He'd hidden that he knew Charlie. A lie of omission. Austin would save his anger for that conversation, which would likely send them back to where they'd been for the last several years. Estranged.
Chapter 43.
Willow stared at the door after Austin walked out. She plopped on the bed, tossed the duffel across the room. She grabbed her necklace and almost yanked the chain to rip it off, but caught herself. Why was she even wearing it? She never should have accepted it. She reached for the clasp, but the kiss, that kiss, thoughts of it flooded her mind. She dropped her hands, leaving the pendant where it lay against her heart. She couldn't bring herself to remove it. What am I going to do? Her shoulders sagged. The duffel bag on the floor called to her. A big part of her wanted to pack and move to a hotel in Greyback, or even as far as Jackson to get away from the brothers and their secrets, especially the former FBI agent brother with whom she'd shared a past. Her feelings for Austin had grown when she hadn't thought she'd watered them. Obviously, the root had remained alive and well, deep in the soil of her heart. But those feelings for him could be clouding her judgment about everything. Putting some space between them might help her think clearly, might help her see what she was missing. Could she walk out on him? She sighed. Not like that. Somehow she had to find the strength to overcome the vortex of wild emotions swirling around her, threatening to overtake her, to suck her down and keep her there. Sheer exhaustion and a heavy heart weighed on her. All she wanted to do was curl up and sleep. She changed into sweats and a t-shirt, grabbed her laptop, and crawled under the covers. She couldn't waste time sleeping. It had been all she could do to keep from insisting she go with Austin to face his brother. She wanted to see the look on Heath's face when he learned what she had discovered. But Austin had enough issues with his brother tangled up in this home and their father, issues they had appeared to be working through. She didn't want to be the one to shatter that. Would everything Austin had gained by coming here be destroyed when he faced Heath? God, please, no. Willow spent a few minutes sending up her heartfelt prayers for the brothers, for Caitlin Mason, and for Caitlin's daughter, whom they now believed was Charlie. She should call the terminally ill woman to see how she was doing. Maybe telling her they were this close would give her enough hope to survive the onslaught of illness that had returned. But then again, worry and concern for her daughter in danger could do her in. Better to leave Caitlin with the hope that Willow and Austin were making progress and would find her daughter soon. She thought back through what they knew so far, and what she'd been through. They believed JT had been murdered. The house he'd shared with Willow had been burned down. She could have died in the fire. Arson with intent to kill. Her life remained threatened, and now Charlie's life as well? Who was behind this? The woman who had been a nurse and had recently worked in a nursing home had walked into that hospital room 2 decades ago and stolen Caitlin's baby. The FBI and the police had decided it had been a random act, unfortunately common enough because there had been no ransom note, nothing to gain by stealing the baby, even though Caitlin had been an overnight millionaire. But if Marilee was that woman, and Willow was reasonably certain she was, then she was gone, murdered 2 months ago before the attacks on Willow had even begun. Someone else had been involved, someone with the means to travel to Seattle and Wyoming. Someone with a motive strong enough to commit murder and willing to risk being discovered by leaving threatening notes. If only she still had the notes, then she could compare them with Heath's writing. There had to be something in this house with his handwriting on it. Still, the very idea of him writing the notes sickened her. The cheesecake that Austin had brought up rested on the desk. He'd been so thoughtful. Again. But she couldn't eat it now. Willow hoped these new events would be reason enough for the FBI and other law enforcement entities to reopen the cold case on the Mason baby. But regardless of what direction their investigations took, Willow had to finish this for Caitlin. And for JT, who'd accepted the challenge. Though he was deceased, his business reputation was at stake. Willow couldn't work his last case and fail. Even though he was gone, she'd feel like she was letting him down. Willow had wanted him to be proud of her. Sheer terror at the thought of failing unfolded inside her. Heart tumbling, she closed her eyes and breathed slowly until the ache in her chest was gone. What would JT have done under these circumstances? Why had he really planned to come to Wyoming? I'm missing something. It's probably staring me in the face, and I can't see it. She would never see it unless she could push past the angst brought on by being too emotionally involved with Austin. It was time to get over it and get to work. She opened her laptop and found Dana's email containing the link and login to the genealogy site she had been using to build the Haas family tree. She almost ignored it, but curiosity snagged her. Who was the son who Marilee had kept a secret? If, in fact, that was the secret to which Mr. Haas had referred. She pulled up the information, though she struggled to focus. She stared at the computer screen while her mind remained on Austin and Heath. An image of Heath's face when he first saw Charlie's picture continued to play in her mind. She should have suspected it right then, in that moment. But she hadn't wanted to believe it. She had wanted to trust that his sudden coolness had nothing to do with Charlie. That's what happened when one was too close to someone. Heath and Austin had practiced at hiding secrets. Maybe she shouldn't blame Austin. He'd spent a lifetime hiding that his father had been an alcoholic and the brutality he'd experienced at his hands. Was a drunk father better than no father? Willow didn't know. She could only imagine. She fluffed her pillow and sat up taller in bed, blinked her eyes and stared at the information in front of her. The Haas family tree. Mr. Henry Haas was linked to great-grandchildren through their grandfather, Silas Everett. Sheriff Silas Everett was Mr. Haas's biological son? Definitely a family secret, considering the birth certificate. But was that the secret that Marilee had kept for Mr. Haas? Could she have been murdered for that knowledge? Willow didn't know why that information would warrant murder. To protect an inheritance, perhaps? It wouldn't be the first time. But that could mean the sheriff was mixed up in Marilee's murder somehow. Charlie could be the one to identify her mother's murderer,
which was why someone didn't want her to be found. And Willow had just handed off the note to him.
Chapter 44. Friday, 9:45 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Austin marched toward the barn, the house 50 yards behind him. Evelyn sat up in the living room reading Reader's Digest. He could see the house from this distance. Willow would be safe for the moment. The lights were on in the barn, and shadows moved inside. When Austin entered the barn, the scent of leather, hay, and wood shavings accosted him. The smells brought an explosion of memories, both good and bad, making this conversation that much more difficult. Heath had already taken care of Amber. He worked to place a saddle and tack on his feisty dun stallion, Boots. His stern gaze remained on his horse. Austin swallowed the accusations. He knew better than to approach with his mouth loaded and ready to shoot. He fisted his hands to hold back the anger.
"What are you doing?"
He barely contained his fury with the question.
"I'm getting ready to take a ride."
"You do that often?"
"What? Ride at night?"
"No."
"Then why are you doing it now?"
Heath narrowed his eyes.
"What's with all the questions?"
Regret boiled up inside, born from every mistake he'd ever made. He didn't want to open up the chasm between them when they had only started building a bridge. Their estrangement wasn't Heath's fault. It had never been. That burden lay with Austin. Still, how did he ask him why he'd hidden the fact that he knew Charlie, the very girl Austin and Willow searched for?
"You have something on your mind, Austin? But I'm sorry. I don't have time to talk right now."
"You lied to us." Heath dropped his radio, the only sign that Austin's words had affected his brother. Heath picked it up and secured it to his belt, then placed his hands flat on Boots as if the horse would topple over. He hung his head.
"What did you say?"
"Willow found the picture that proves you know Charlie. You knew the instant we showed you the picture. Why are you hiding that?" "Please, tell me something I can believe and let me see the truth in your eyes." Heath continued to hang his head for a good long moment. When he finally looked up, his eyes held a challenge of his own.
"I'll answer that question if you'll answer one of mine."
"Go ahead, shoot." Austin crossed his arms. "This was just like old times. When they were boys, they would have found themselves wrestling before too much longer. The situation might even come to that now."
He hoped not.
Releasing the horse to stand on its own, Heath faced Austin, though he kept a hold of the reins. "How much do you know about this person who hired you to find her?"
Relief filled Austin's chest. "That's easy. This girl is part of an FBI cold case. Our client, Caitlin Mason, is her birth mother. Charlie was stolen from her hospital room 2 decades ago. It's not a lie fabricated to find her."
"And you're absolutely sure that she's Charlie's mother? Because Charlie has a killer after her, she's hiding from him and doesn't want to be found." Austin nodded, understanding taking hold.
"I can see how that might look. But Caitlin Mason isn't that killer, and someone else doesn't want us to find her."
Austin relayed everything that had happened to Willow and her grandfather, the details they'd left out earlier at dinner. Heath dropped the reins.
"It's a shock. This news is... I didn't know her mother well, but the girl was loved. I met her mom when she brought her to start riding horses. I just can't believe this is true. It's going to crush her."
That girl loved her mother. Still does, though she's gone. It was an awful thing for her to watch her mother brutally murdered. That was hard enough.
Heath shook his head. Nobody can